Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome, everybody, to the Steve Jones Show here on WKOK. 3:35 following the news, we'll play excerpts from Bill O'Brien's press conference yesterday, practice number one in the books for the Nittany Lions. 4:05, we will hear from Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of the Ohio State Radio Network, as the Buckeyes get ready to take on Kansas in the Final Four at the Superdome in New Orleans. The other half of the bracket will have Kentucky against Louisville. Later in the week, we will also talk with Malcolm Moran from New Orleans about the Final Four, Dick Girardi from the Final Four, and also Joe Bautista on the progress being made in the transition to Division I hockey at Penn State. We will hear from him on Thursday here on the show. We now go live to our correspondent who is following every NFL move and IRL move and several other sports that nobody really cares about. We bring in Kevin Hurt.
But I'm avoiding the CFL today. We're not going to discuss that.
That's fine.
Browns half-heartedly getting behind Colt McCoy. They're debating on whether they're going to get him any help through the NFL draft. Here's a thought. Try and at least get him somebody to throw to. I mean, really. That's the strangest comment I have ever heard coming from a front office, that they may or may not be considering the idea of getting him weapons in the NFL draft.
Yeah, well, that's an issue.
Really? If you're Colt McCoy, what do you think? Oh, this is great. I'm the starting quarterback. Oh, wait. I'm not going to be throwing really to anybody who can catch the ball. This will be a great season. I'm looking forward to it. How long before I'm a free agent? The big news coming out of the NFL was that the owners backed the penalties against the Skins and Cowboys 29-0. 29-0 for the imposing cap penalties against the Cowboys and Redskins. And you know what? I'm not so sure if that's completely fair. I mean, this was going back to a non-capped year. They definitely manipulated the system. There's no question about that. But the NFL was aware of it and went, okay. And now the NFL goes, wait a minute, that's not okay. I mean, how could it be okay then, but it's not okay a year or so later?
Good question. Well praised.
Well, and if you're an NFL owner, of course you're going to vote to impose the cap penalties against the Cowboys and the Redskins. I mean, why not? You benefit from it. So, yeah, let's make sure they pay those penalties. I don't know. I just didn't quite understand why, you know, the NFL would be okay with it when everything went through, knowing that they found a loophole, the NFL knowing the loophole was there, and instead of doing something at that moment, decided against it. So now Dallas has to pay a $36 million penalty and $10 million for the Washington Redskins.
Where's the money go?
That's a good question. That's a very good question.
Now, fine money, when you're fined in the NFL, I know where that goes. That goes to charities.
Right.
Right. But I don't know where this money goes.
Roger Goodell's retirement account?
I don't know. Sean Payton, of course, talked earlier today. They said he was contrite and humble as he talked to the media. They said usually he's not like that. Payton and general manager Mickey Loomis will meet with retired coach Bill Parcells before Payton flies back to New Orleans to finish planning the 2012 season. Parcells, sources have told ESPN's Chris Mortensen, has discussed possibly coaching the Saints for the coming season.
Well, here's the interesting one, though, that Goodell said that if Payton decides to appeal, he may actually be able to coach. Okay, again, why change it a couple of weeks later? This doesn't make any sense. You've already set a stern message that this is not going to be tolerated. Okay, agree with it or disagree with it. you've sent that message. But he can appeal it, and now it'll be like, well, all right, maybe you can go ahead and coach anyway. What kind of message does that send then?
Not a great one.
No.
I mean, I don't know what he can come up with that will change everybody's mind. Thought they interviewed everybody about it.
Yeah, is there going to be any? What can he say that's going to make a difference? And if there is something, why wasn't that brought out when this was all being discussed? It's a little wishy-washy.
Sure. I know it's wishy-washy. But, you know, the key part of that is may be able to coach. He's not guaranteeing he would be.
No, that's true.
I think if he appeals, I think the one... Now, may be able to coach means maybe he'll be able to coach a minicamp and not games.
Or maybe the preseason, but not the regular season.
No, but I mean, I'm saying that the appeal process may take him to a certain point where he can help conduct the draft with Mickey Loomis, where he can, because it's supposed to start April 1st.
Because right now he can't do anything. Yeah.
Well, he can now. Right now he can do a lot of things. Between now and Sunday, he can do anything he wants.
Right. As of April 1st, though, I mean, he can't even show up at the NFL draft.
Can't do anything, can't draw a check. Anything like that.
That's a good point. I didn't really look at it that way.
I mean, if he appeals it, then he would be able to be involved in the day-to-day operations of the Saints through the draft. And if the appeal takes long enough, he may actually be the one that runs minicamp for them. And it also would open the door to a quicker resolution, by the way, for Drew Brees, which is certainly something that they have to be very. That's the first question. If I'm Bill Parcells, that's the first question I ask. What is the status of nine?
Right. Well, here's the other thing, though. Well, bringing in Bill Parcells, and I'm not saying this is a bad idea. I'm just saying bringing in Bill Parcells to coach for a year. What does that say about the rest of your coaching staff? By the way, we have no confidence in the rest of you being able to lead this team. Let's bring an analyst from ESPN in. Now, granted, he was a successful football coach a time or two. I understand, but it's a little bit of a slap in the face.
But people also have to remember he's also one of Sean Payton's mentors, because he was the head coach of the Cowboys when Sean Payton was the offensive coordinator.
It's still a little slap in the face to the rest of the staff.
Well, if you go outside and hire somebody and they keep people, is that a slap in their face?
Well. All right, I see your point there.
I mean, if you make Steve Spagnuolo, for example, your head coach, whom you just hired.
And now you're saying he's better than the rest of them.
Because he has more experience as a head coach than anybody else in the staff. Because part of
success isn't part of it, though.
Right, yeah. But, well, he's been a successful coordinator, though. If you look at, I mean, you have to be surrounded by talent. One of the reasons the Rams hired him to be the head coach, and he did bring them to within a game of the playoffs last year when they lost to Seattle, all right, is that the reason you're hired is because they weren't going well. Right. And it means you don't have as much talent as other people do. But part of being a head coach, though, that is different than being a coordinator is you have to be far more organized. You have to be far more organized. You have to be organized to be a coordinator. Right, but you're also organizing just one side of the ball. You have to organize everything around you when you're a head coach. That's why you see some people, for example, end up being, you know, they're successful assistants. They get a shot as a head coach. It doesn't work. Then they go back to being a successful assistant again. Because some people are just built perfectly to be an assistant coach. But the overall structure of having to be the organizational leader is something they struggle with as a head coach.
Now, has Parcells said that that there's been discussion about him taking over? Because I heard Parcells said there was no discussion of that he had just talked, you know, a bunch of times with
Sean Payton. Today.
Well, yeah, but he had talked with Sean Payton before about the suspension and then discussed the coaching staff and everything, but he never really came out and said, at least to my knowledge, that he was being looked
at. Do you really think that they're down there right now and asking, you know, you know, is Dickie Brennan's a great place to get a steak?
I understand.
In New Orleans.
I understand what you're saying.
Do you think that they're saying that lunch at Court of Two Sisters is the best place to have lunch in New Orleans? Right.
Yeah, I don't think they're discussing the new contract for the jerseys with Nike.
That's where you jump in.
I agree with you there.
Right. I mean, that's the little common sense here. We're going to hear from Bill O'Brien, by the way, after 3:35. Excerpts from his press conference from yesterday. Practice number one is in the books. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Frank Martin leaves Kansas State after a successful run there to become the head coach of South Carolina. Kansas State Athletic Director John Curry denied today that there's a rift with Frank Martin, and that was the primary reason that the popular men's basketball coach left for the same job in Columbia, South Carolina. Curry said he tried to offer Martin a chance to restructure his contract several times during the season. That included a last-minute pitch on Monday when Martin called to inform Kansas State officials that he was accepting the offer with the Gamecocks. Curry was joined at a news conference Tuesday by Kansas State President Kirk Schultz, who offered support for his athletic director. Curry said that he would begin the search immediately for a new coach. He would not say whether he has a list of potential candidates and declined to offer a timetable for hiring. In other words, they were caught off guard. This will be the first time that Curry has hired a major coach since taking over the job in 2009. But Frank Martin takes the job at South Carolina. I mean, they stepped up and they hired him. I was taken aback by that last night. He was just on CBS over the weekend.
What did you see with the offer they gave him, though? Can you blame him? 6 years, $12.3 million? That'd be worth it.
Gamecocks have been to the NCAA tournament only once since 1998. They finished last in the Southeastern Conference this season at 2-14. Darren Horn was fired after four seasons. $12.3 million six-year contract. The university's Board of Trustees approved the deal shortly before Martin met with fans and the media. Martin called it a whirlwind courtship with South Carolina that took off over the weekend while the coach was in New York helping CBS with its coverage of the NCAA tournament. He joked that he had basketball studio analysts Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith urging him to take the job before he left. That's how much respect people have for South Carolina, Martin said. 117-54 in 5 years with the Wildcats. I saw him coach his first game, by the way. They were in the Disney tournament that Penn State was in. I saw him coach his first three games. He had Michael Beasley on that team. Whew. They reached the NCAA regional finals in 2010, lost to Syracuse in the third round this season. Martin thanked everyone at Kansas State and discounted any rift with the athletic administration contributing to his decision to leave. Martin had been upset, though, that the school suspended forward Jamar Samuels for the Wildcats NCAA tournament loss to Syracuse because of eligibility concerns. Everybody's trying to create a firestorm, Martin said, but they've been tremendous to me at Kansas State. Martin is the son of Cuban immigrants. He coached high school basketball in Miami for 15 years and was an assistant at Northeastern for four seasons before Bob Huggins brought him in on the staff at Cincinnati. Martin credits Huggins with jump-starting his career, saying the current coach at West Virginia helped him get into college coaching. Martin knew about South Carolina's program from following the Gamecocks and star Devin Downey, who spent his freshman season at Cincinnati when Martin was there. Downey, by the way, played against Penn State in that Disney tournament and was a tremendous performer against the Nittany Lions that day. It was in fact, a Thanksgiving Day game that took place at Disney World. Things have slumped for South Carolina, though, under Darren Horn. The Gamecocks lost 24 of their last 27 SEC games. Horn finished his career at South Carolina 23-45 in league games, 60-63 overall, with three losing seasons in a row. Attendance fell drastically this season, with opponents such as Ohio State and Kentucky outdrawing the Gamecocks in games played there during the winter. Martin praised Horn for running a clean program and improving the team's once poor academic showing. Horn did a lot of good for this basketball team, except winning. It's my duty to try and complete that part. Martin promised his team's tough-nosed style and relentless work ethic would fill the arena. We'll put 18,000 in this place every game. The new coach met with his players earlier today and ask them to get ready to work hard. It will take plenty of effort to catch up with South Carolina's other successful programs. Football coach Steve Spurrier has won a record 11 games last fall. Baseball coach Ray Tanner has won the past two College World Series. And Dawn Staley led the women's basketball team to their first trip to the NCAA tournament in 9 years. Spurrier said he met with Martin for a few moments before the news conference. "I think we've hired a winner," Spurrier said. "I think he's got a pretty good track record." Martin was asked about his plain-spoken, harsh style and famous glare. The coach says he's working on calming his brash nature the past few years, but it said it might not be long before South Carolina fans see the stare. He says probably after the first turnover.
I can see that one coming.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, since we're on college here, about the BCS meetings right now. Which, by the way, Keith Jackson once said there was one too many letters in BCS when describing his thoughts on the BCS, which I thought was very clever. But originally we had talked about a four-team BCS-style tournament. Mm-hmm. And now they're talking about a plus one or more? Where did the other ones come from? Where did these other teams come out of the woodwork here? Where did that
idea plus one is what they were talking about before, the semifinals. That's plus one.
Yeah, but how would that work?
Well, what they want to do is that the proposal that was put on the table, which was backed by the Big Ten, is that two semifinal games will be played in the middle of December at home fields, with the winners moving to the BCS championship game 2-3 weeks later. That's plus one. The other plus one is you play the New Year's Day bowl games, and then two teams come out of that, and they play the championship game a week later.
See, the plus one confused me, because when I first saw plus one recently, I thought maybe they were adding a fifth team, and I'm like, how's five teams going to work? I couldn't quite understand the plus one part, and the stories were written were a little vague.
Plus one is the extra game.
Okay.
That's
now,
the chance.
That
plus one is plus one is the extra game it takes to get to the championship game. That's plus one. So the semifinals could be essentially taking place on New Year's Day as part of the New Year's Day bowl packages, with the two winners coming out of that to meet in the BCS championship game a week to possibly 8 days later, depending on the date. Or one that was also put forward was playing a pair of semifinal games in the middle of December, like the 15th or 16th, somewhere in that range, on a Saturday at home fields. Now, the SEC is not enamored with that because there is a fear, for example, that if you're Auburn and Penn State has a great season, you're playing in Beaver Stadium December 15th.
Too bad.
Or if you're Auburn or Alabama and you're behind Wisconsin in the BCS standings and you're playing at Camp Randall on December 15th or 16th. That is what the SEC is upset about. Now remember, Florida has not played a game above the Mason-Dixon line since 1965.
Okay. That's 1965. Ridiculous.
Yep. So
65. That is absolutely crazy.
They played at Michigan.
Wow.
Now Alabama is traditionally, Bear Bryant had no fear playing anybody anywhere. He went out to USC. He played at Penn State. He played at Notre Dame. He'd play anybody anywhere anytime. I'll give you two examples. Penn State was supposed to have a home and away series with Auburn in 1981 and 82. It never happened. Auburn did not want to come up here. Penn State had a four-game series in the 70s with Tennessee. The first two games were played in Knoxville. Penn State played both those games. Tennessee never returned. Welcome to the SEC.
Where it's all about me.
Mm-hmm. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show after this.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make the month of March Sunbury Motors Hyundai Month. During the month of March, test drive any new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai and you'll receive a $15 Brewers Outlet gift card. Why should you test drive a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai? Well, listen to these awards. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is the winner of lowest cost of ownership by Kelley Blue Book. And the 2012 Hyundai Elantra was named best car under $20,000 by AOL.auto.com. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And every Hyundai purchased at Sunbury Motors Hyundai receives an additional set of tires. If you're looking for a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
An end of an era is here. Robert M. Sides will no longer be the Yamaha dealer in Central PA. For 4 days only, Thursday, March 29th through Sunday, April 1st, Robert M. Sides will liquidate all Yamaha acoustic and digital pianos. This is your opportunity to own the piano of your dreams at liquidation prices. All Yamaha and Disclavier pianos, as well as Yamaha's Clavionas, will be liquidated. These pianos will be liquidated to the general public on Saturday, March 31st and Sunday, April 1st. However, you can schedule an appointment to the private sale on Thursday, March 29th or Friday, March 30th from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. by calling toll-free at 1-888-647-1523. This is your chance to own the piano of your dreams at extraordinary savings, and financing is available. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 1-888-647-1523. Calls will be returned in the order received. That's 888-647-1523. This weekend, only at Robert M. Sides, 201 Mulberry Street, Williamsport.
I'm married.
I'm separated.
I'm engaged.
I'm a widow.
I'm single.
I'm divorced.
I'm looking.
Christ Wesleyan Church, for people like you. Church isn't for perfect people. It's for those who know what it's like to fall and get back up again. People who realize that there's no such thing as a perfect person. Christ Wesleyan Church. Visit cwcmilton.org for people like you.
For your next home improvement project, Lewisburg Builder Supply is the only name you need to know. In addition to being your local convenience source for hardware, building materials, and home improvement products, Lewisburg Builder Supply is also a full-service kitchen and bath design center. Lewisburg Builder Supply stocks and supports quality USA-made products and materials, while remaining fiercely price competitive. Stop by Lewisburg Builder Supply, Route 15 in Hafer Road, Lewisburg, or visit lewisburgbuilders.com. For over 70 years, Lewisburg Builder Supply has been your foundation for great building projects.
Quick segment here, then Matt Farron with the news at the bottom of the hour on WKOK. It's great to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. After the news, we'll have excerpts from Bill O'Brien's press conference. Then after the top of the hour, Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State basketball. The Buckeyes are playing this weekend. They will play Saturday against Kansas in the national semifinal at the Superdome in New Orleans, with the other half of the bracket being Louisville against Kentucky. I was listening to Dick Vitale today, and Vitale was going on about how the winner of Louisville-Kentucky can't be so overcome with emotion from doing that that they forget there's a game Monday night. Are you okay? I mean, really, you sit there and say, what is the deal? You know, I mean, Cincinnati and Ohio State, yeah, 106 miles apart, have played one time since 1962. For Ohio State, they were in the Kentucky position. The last thing they wanted was in that game to lose the biggest game between Ohio State and Cincinnati since 1962, to lose that game in state. For Cincinnati, it was a golden opportunity. It meant everything to them. If you notice, Ohio State came back and beat Syracuse 2 days later, 77-7. Man, where do we come up with these theories?
Don't forget, you got another game, baby!
It's like, Calipari has been to the championship game before, and guess what? He didn't win. Kansas beat him in overtime. You think he's sitting there thinking to himself that Saturday's the be-all, end-all?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us. Yesterday, head coach Bill O'Brien had a press conference, and let's get some excerpts from that press conference. starting, of course, with the situation at quarterback, and he talked about that.
I really like these guys. We're basically working with three guys there. We have Matt McGloin, Rob Bolden, and Paul Jones. We'll mix and match their reps. You know, each guy will get a chance to rep with the first team. I haven't really watched a lot of Penn State's offense from the past couple of years. That's something that I really wanted to do, was start with a clean slate with these guys and just evaluate them in the winter conditioning and now into spring practice. And to this point, I've been very pleased with these guys. They're competitive guys. They're smart guys. They really want to be coached. They want to be good. And we'll start evaluating them on the football field this afternoon. We got to get better at coaching. We got to get better at playing. We got to get better at understanding schemes. We have to look to improve every single day out on the field. And if we can take that mentality throughout the whole spring, then we will have had a good spring. We've had a really good winter, and it's obvious to us here that we have really good kids here, and guys that want to be good and want to be coached and get better every day. And so we're just really excited about getting out there and starting to play football and watch how these guys react in different situations on the football field. We're very excited about it, and we feel we have a chance to have a good football team, but we got a long way to go. And if hard work is any measure of how good we're going to be, then we're on the right road. Yeah, we're working through all that right now. That's not something that needs to be solved like today. So all I know is that I will call the plays. Charlie Fisher will coach the quarterback. So one thing that we do know right now is during the season, when we come to the sideline for sideline adjustments between series, Charlie will handle that, whether he's in the press box or on the field. We haven't decided where everybody is yet, and then I'll watch the whole game. So I'll be involved in everything as far as the management of the game goes. That to me is something that has to be the strength of the head coach. And so those are things that we're going to practice throughout the spring as far as teaching our players situational football. But as far as the coaching staff goes, we'll work that during the spring, and then we'll really try to ramp it up during training camp. No, it's not too early. You can see where Fitz and his assistants and his program have had a direct effect on different guys already, like Adam Gress. You know, right now you can see that the offensive tackle for us has had a heck of a winter and has already changed his body. You know, you go from looking one way to looking more like a V shape, and that's what you're looking for in your linemen. And so, you know, and there's many other examples of that, and you can see it already in their conditioning levels and their flexibility. And so, you know, we got a long way to go, but there's definitely been an effect on this team over the last 3 months with his program. I'd be glad to elaborate on it. You know, one of the things I wanted to do when I got here was, again, start with a clean slate with these guys. And I didn't want to make any judgments on what they did on the football field, especially offensively, with not really knowing what they were doing scheme-wise offensively, you know, and not really knowing how they were coaching it and all those different things. So I just wanted to start evaluating them in the winter conditioning, and then now in spring practice. I wanted to start my evaluation then. The other thing about that is, I had to decide how to budget my time. You know, I had to decide, you know, what's the most important thing or things for me to get accomplished over the last 3 months. And so it was, you know, making sure I was up to speed on all their academics, their academic issues, you know, or situations with each kid on the team, recruiting, and then implementing our systems and evaluating our players in the winter conditioning. So I felt like if I could just take one thing and not do it, that would be evaluating the offense from last year, and now going into spring, I'll continue to evaluate them right now. They've been, Larry and Ron have been great, and you know, again, they were highly recommended to me to keep, and I'm glad I did. They've bought into what we're doing, and they're working very hard, and you can see why they were highly recommended. They're great communicators, great teachers, and they've bought into what we're doing here. And so I'm looking forward to continuing to work with them and getting to know them. Yeah, I feel good about recruiting. You know, again, recruiting is you know, it's different than it was 5 years ago. You know, it's it's Facebook, it's Twitter. There's a lot of different things going on, but I feel good about where we are right now. But again, you never really know until they sign on the dotted line, you know. So we'll just continue to really work hard at it. The only thing we've talked about, a couple of different things. I want a big, fast, physical football team here. So I don't want us to ever be wrong on measurables. Now, that doesn't mean that we're just going to have a bunch of giants. That means that there's exceptions to every rule, but we can't have too many of those. So we want a big, fast, physical football team down the road here. But for us as a football team, it's another opportunity to get better. So for us, it'll be treated like a game scrimmage. We haven't really talked about the specifics of it yet, but I'll be calling plays in that game. Ted will be calling the defense. And you know, that's our final chance before heading into the summer to evaluate our football team and to also, as a coaching staff, treat it like a game with guys in the press box, officials on the field, guys, coaches on the field, translating the play into the players, letting the players play, special teams, and treating that like a game. The more you can practice simulating a game, then when you get to the actual game itself, the operation of the game can be that much easier for you. So to us, I think it's great that that's a big day here, and I'm excited for the fans coming out, and I can't wait to meet a lot of people, but that's a very much of a business day for us.
So from the blue-white game to the quarterbacks to recruiting, really a soup-to-nuts feeling there of the press conference yesterday from Bill O'Brien. So there you go. Kevin quit.
No. I'm just getting ready to be able to have that audio at stevejones.com a little later on this evening.
Yeah, so there you go. That's the whole thing right there. That's the whole thing right there. You know, about 6.5 minutes worth of whatever. And, you know, I think that gets everybody up to date on where they are. They have one in the books. I even said to him when practice was over with yesterday, say, Jonesy, I said, yeah. I said, well, that's one. He goes, long way to go. And I said, look, I said, the journey starts someplace. And I said, it's going to be a long journey. So they got one in. They'll go tomorrow. I don't think they're going Friday because they're the coach's clinic. I think he's just going to do the clinic. And then Saturday they'll go again. You know?
I think it was interesting when in the first clip that you played when they were obviously asked about the quarterbacks, he did not look at any of the film from last year and decided to take it kind of as it stands this spring with a fresh set of eyes, not looking at anything from the year before with his scheme in mind, that sort of thing. I thought that was a very good idea because what he'd be looking at would be somebody else's offense, really, instead of how this quarterback and this quarterback fits into his offense.
Well, I think it's a wise move on his part because I think he just has to sit there and just make his own fresh evaluations. Well, I think he has to sit there and instead of getting any preconceived notion about what somebody can or can't do, I think he needs to see for his own eyes what somebody can and can't do. And he has a way he wants to play. And a lot of it, he talked about how the Patriots' influence is certainly going to be there. Now, there'll also be a game plan offense. I mean, so he'll adjust from time to time as to what he does and doesn't do. I think that he knows he has a major league running back in Silas Redd. I think he knows that. Now, it's a question of can they get him enough creases and holes to make it work for him? Quarterbacks, I mean, that's for he and Charlie Fisher, it's all fresh start stuff. They all start from square one. So there's no first, there's no second, there's no third. And they'll all mix and match as time goes along because they have to find out who, number one, masters what they do. I mean, I'm talking everything from calling it out in the sequences that you needed to have it called out, especially when the coaches can't coach you out there. You get into a two-minute offense. And then go from there. All right. Quarterback has to take charge of that, which means they have to run the offense that you want to at that particular moment. That takes a lot to do that. And I think you find out right away what you have and what you don't have. And he can do it with his own eyes and doesn't need. Now, he did look at the defense. But Ted Roof, for the most part, is going to be the guy coaching the defense. I mean, Bill didn't, you know, the only time the defense, Bill saw the defense, it was when they were against the offense yesterday. Bill did not leave the offensive practice field and go to the defensive practice field. Now, in time, he may do that, but he didn't do that at least in day one. And the one time he did see the defense, you know, the times he did see the defense when they were doing combo drills together. So, there you are.
I also think he set the tone for the media, especially on Blue-White game Saturday, that this is going to, you know, there's a lot of people I need to see, there's a lot of people I look forward to see, but this is work. This is not entertainment.
It's all business. Yeah, it's all business. And it has to be. But I'll tell you what really impressed me is that they have a pace to practice that is very, very quick and very efficient. They'll stretch in the first half hour, stretch, warm up, all right, in the first half hour. The last 90 minutes is practice. And I'll tell you right now, they get the max out of the 90 minutes. Right? He has a certain amount of time he has with them. I would venture to say that of the 90 minutes, a total of a minute and a half, nothing was happening. And that was the time where they were running on and off the field or had a brief water break. Okay? The other 1 hour and 28 and a half minutes, it was go, 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 go. And that pace creates a game feel to it. It creates a sense of urgency to it. And it gets the max out of it. They have a clock up. Clock is running down. Say you have 8 minutes for a period. The second that 8 minute thing is over with, you're done. You go to the next thing. You have to work on it again Wednesday because it didn't get enough of this done or enough of that done. Then you do it. But once the 8 minutes is over with, you move on. Does not like wasted time. So there you go. All right. What about your questions and comments about Penn State football? All right, we heard from Bill O'Brien. Let's get you to jump in here. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Also, if you think Kevin Hirsch should bag the orange tie and orange shirt, whatever you want.
Come on. You just can't let that go, can you? You just can't let the shirt and tie go. By the way, for those that don't know or even care, more importantly, he's referring to the photo on the webpage, which is bigger than his, which is why I think he's got photo envy.
No, I just think it's brutal. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. We'll come back with your calls in a moment on WKOK.
The 12 showcase event is here. Plus, it's truck month at BZ Motors Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Lewisburg. Now, get $1,000 bonus cash off new 2012 Ram trucks. That means you can get a new 2012 Ram 1500 quad cab tradesman 4x4 pickup with Ram box, towing package, and spray-in bedliner for as low as $26,990 at BZ Motors. How about a new 2012 Dodge Caliber with up to 32 highway miles per gallon starting at only $15,630? BZ Motors also has new 2012 Chrysler 200 with up to 31 highway miles per gallon for as low as $17,870. Or take advantage of 0% APR financing for up to 72 months on all new 2012 Chrysler 200. Check out the $0 down sign and drive leases you can get at BZ Motors. Don't miss the 2012 showcase event going on now at BZ Motors Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Lewisburg. Remember, nobody beats BZ, the dealership you can trust. Special financing on approved credit. All prices after rebate and are plus tax, title, and tags.
Look at that old vehicle sitting in your driveway. It's reached a record old age, but it's no bottle of wine, is it? I think it's time for that new car's smell again. With interest rates at historic lows, now is the time to act. So call or stop by one of the convenient branches of the Northumberland National Bank. We can quickly arrange to finance the purchase of a new or used vehicle. Your new car purchase can be financed for as long as 6 years or 5 years for used car purchases. The Northumberland National Bank offers low competitive competitive rates and flexible terms based on your credit qualifications. Plus, get an even lower interest rate when you agree to an automatic payment from your Nori deposit account. Get the wind in your hair and a smile on your face with your new car or truck loan from the Northumberland National Bank. Calculate your payment at noribank.com. Call or come by the Northumberland National Bank on Front Street in Northumberland, on 4th Street, Sunbury, Lori Lane in Hummel's Wharf, Port Treverton, and Middleburg. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Making our news even better. We're adding NBC News to our hourly CBS News, soon on WKOK.
Why choose Evenlink? Here's why. Even faster access, even better customer service, and even lower prices. Switch from expensive cable to Evenlink's TV, phone, and internet service. Get high-speed internet, all digital TV, plus your local channels with free high def. Add unlimited phone service, plus keep your same number. Packages starting from $75 per month. All three from $75 per month total, plus tax. Why pay more? It's the same TV stations, the same web pages, and the same phone service, but from Evenlink. For a lot less money. You could save $1,000 per year when you switch. Don't wait. Start saving today. No phone line in the house? Don't worry. Evenlink has the technology to bring you DSL only to the home. Call today and Evenlink will waive the $35 installation fee too. That's right. Free installation. A friendly, helpful, and local company for over 15 years. Evenlink. Even faster access. Even better customer service. Even lower prices. Call Evenlink at 988-1800. That's 988-1800 for Evenlink.
Weekdays from 10 a.m. till noon, join Dan Patrick on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
That's something you got to think about. Who would play you in a movie?
Jason Bateman. Not that I had that answer ready.
And you're about what? Are you 6'3", 6'4"?
6'3".
I'm not sure what he is, but most actors you see on television, you think they're 6 foot and they're like 5'6".
They're stumpy. Who would you, I'm thinking?
Dude.
For you, Jason Statham.
Statham, that's what I was going to say.
Right.
Dan will talk all things sports and more. Dan Patrick, weekdays 10 till noon and again from 7 to 10 p.m. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.
All right, welcome back. 1-800-795-9565. By the way, Sarah Bartlett will actually be back. Matt Farron's done a great job, by the way, on the news, but Sarah Bartlett's going to be back soon.
Next week.
Yeah, and then she'll be in the co-host spot when you're on vacation, right?
I don't know that.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious. I don't know that. But she'll definitely be doing the news.
Go in and find out.
Sure. Hang on.
This would be a great time to do it. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. And it's great to have you with us here on this Tuesday afternoon. Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of the Ohio State Radio Network, will join us following the news at the top of the hour at 4:05. And your questions and comments, I want to know, get a feel from you as to what you want to know, especially about Penn State football. One practice yesterday, there are actually more player moves made than just what they talked about. And Curtis Drake is playing corner. Bill Belton has moved from wide receiver to tailback. Alex Kenny's playing a wide receiver. He played corner last year. So those are some of the moves that have been made. Now, no pads yesterday. I think the rule is that you have 15 practices. Three of them have to be without pads. That's one. I doubt they'll have pads on Wednesday either. Then I'm sure Bill will make a decision on Saturday or not. So, and the blue-white game, from what I understand, is not going to be the 15th practice. It's going to be the 14th. There's going to be one practice after that.
Oh, that's interesting.
No, that's happened before. Joe
has
did
it?
That.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. One year, Joe had two after the blue-white game. You know, they had a blue-white game on the Saturday and had a Monday and a Wednesday practice. The Wednesday one he had was an all-out scrimmage. It wasn't what you saw on the blue-white game.
Okay. Well, you know, it's not a bad idea because things that you've seen in the blue-white game, then you don't have to wait until August to work on again.
Well, I think it's just the time. I think a lot of this is timing. You're allowed to get the 15 practices in a 30-day span. That could be part of the reason. But I think the coach's clinic, he wanted to just be involved in the clinic part of it. And also Easter falls in the middle. The clinic usually is the second week of spring practice here, and and Easter's the second week. You know, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Passover's that night as well, on that Friday night. So that is, So that's what he's going to do schedule-wise. Our number is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Curtis Dukes is not participating in the spring. He'll be back in the summer. And Derek Day would be the two running back right now, and Bill Belton would be third. Dakota Royer's over on offense now. I mentioned Jesse James, the true freshman playing tight ends. Good-looking prospect. Good size. I know he's very strong. So,
by the way, on the webpage, stevejonesshow.com, who should be the Penn State starting quarterback? You can place your votes for Matt McGloin, Rob Bolden, Paul Jones, or other. And right now, as this very moment stands, other is in the lead.
It's a good day for Shane McGregor.
Actually, right. Wait a minute. Hold on. That changed just a few seconds ago. Paul Jones is now taking the lead. That's really interesting.
All right. Vaulting to the front.
That's interesting.
There are two votes that count.
Yeah, and they're not going to be used on. They're not going to be posted on this website, I'm sure.
Charlie Fisher, and then eventually Bill O'Brien, and Bill will have 51% of the vote. And in all likelihood, I'm going to guess that Bill and Charlie would be in absolute agreement. Anyway.
I'm not expecting either one to be placing a vote at stevejonesshow.com.
No, I don't think so.
But they're more than welcome to do that.
I'm more than welcome to jump right in there. So more than welcome to jump right in there.
We got an email, Facebook question from Jeff. Jeff said, how can I follow you on Twitter? Really easy to do. Just when you go to Twitter, it's at Steve Jones PSU. At Steve Jones PSU. That's how you can follow us on Twitter.
Means I have to tweet more.
Yes, it does.
Hot dogs, good.
Yeah, but you also have to tell us what kind.
What kind? Angus. I should tweet more. Well, I know I have to tweet more. I do know that. I try to tweet sometimes who the guests are. I try to do that.
That's a good idea.
Number is 1-800-795-9565. Dave in Sunbury. Dave, go ahead.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing today?
Okay. A wide receiver from State College, you know, because he was DB.
Yeah,
that was the main reason I called.
Yep.
But you already told me, but I was already on the line, so I figured I'd just wait and talk to you anyway.
Yeah.
You got any other significant moves? Or see, I get blue-white paper, and they're going to have a roster all changed up.
Curtis Drake is playing at corner, and he's changed his number to two. Derek Thomas is still there. Bill Belton has moved from wide receiver to tailback. Dakota Royer from linebacker to fullback tight end spot. Let's see. Alex Kenny from corner to wide receiver. Let's see. Those are the ones that I think of right away that would be significant moves.
On to Kevin Maybe. Herr. He said about his orange shirt and tie. Asking me if he has a dog named Smokey.
No, I don't.
Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of the Ohio State Radio Network, coming up next after the news at the top of the hour on WKOK.